The scripture reading, as I referred to you before, comes from the book of Exodus. Let me see if I got. I don't think I have it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven to you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening, you shall know it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was in the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as you can eat." It was Ash Wednesday. We were far away from home on a cold, dark Czech evening. 12 hours later, you would be gathering here at Fairview Community Church to place ashes upon your forehead and eat the simple meal, communing with God. At that point, of course, it was only 10 a.m. here. But it was dark and near freezing in the evening we found ourselves. Walking out from the chill of Old Town Square and into the tall stone building of St. Nicholas Hussite Church, we entered. Candles flickering on altars, two priests presiding. We didn't understand a word, but we understood every word. Tall columns reached upward toward the heavens. You could practically see the chill in the air up there. There was gold trimming the building almost everywhere. The warm glow of the candles somehow actually succeeded in warming us. When the time came, Marquise, a 2-year-old Molly, and I stood up and received the ashes on our foreheads. I felt the connection to the land where I was and the land where I'm from, recognizing that all of us are connected to a different land as we remember the journey of one man as he began the last 40 days of his life. Then we took the bread. It didn't look like the bread we were used to, more like wafers. Maybe you'd see in a Roman Catholic church. But it was the same bread. The same bread. Time and space disappeared, and we ate the same bread. The bread of life. Communion. I was on an island in the middle of the highest lake in the world, the center of the once great Incan civilization, staying in the home of a family I could hardly communicate with. Only one person spoke Spanish. The rest spoke an indigenous language, Quechua. Their home was sparse. The floor was dirt. The stove was literally a fireplace. And an old woman pulled out a few trinkets. Even though I didn't want any of them, I bought two, so she could make a sale. This would be my home for the night. My room upstairs was probably the best room of all, and they gave it to me. No electricity, but the bed was clean. The bathroom was downstairs outside. It was a simple home for simple people. So we had a simple meal. I explained that I'm a vegetarian, a very difficult concept to convey when you're in a different country and speaking a language that is not your own native tongue. Nada con cara, I like to say, nothing with a face. So the man who spoke Spanish laughed and explained that they are vegetarians also. Well, every day except for one, because on the day of the new year, they ate meat. This was because it was the only time of year they could get meat. These people were extremely poor, so we brought gifts of fruit. They had little access to it. There was something about the altitude and the soil on the island, maybe the cold, made it impossible to grow fruit. So they were grateful for the oranges and apple that I brought with me. We sat on the ground of their little home on a rug, and the old woman, a young woman with a baby, who incidentally had been hidden on the back of this woman in what looked like a blanketed pack, she hiked effortlessly up this huge hill as we made our way off the dock and onto her island, where her house was above the hill. As I was wheezing from the altitude, she easily skipped up with what I didn't know at the time, her baby on her back. There were a few other children, all dressed in their unique cultural attire, kept warm from the biting air with layers upon layers of clothing. And so we ate our simple stew, vegetarian, and dipped the plain flat bread and smiled. There were three foreigners and this humble family. Communion. She and I met in Chicago. We became fast friends. Upon a visit to California, the Reverend Dr. Cannon, Sharon Haston, took to our pulpit and shared God's good news with an Australian accent. A couple years later, I went down under in a church in the round, like those old Fairview days, with people who reminded me of you. I got the chance to join with her in presiding over the Lord's Supper. In high Anglican style, we lifted the cup. And then later after church, one of the members gave me fuzzy knit booties to wear on my feet. The contrast was striking, high and low. It was striking and lovely and holy. Communion. There was that day in Tel Aviv when a miracle happened in a parking lot. An archaeological student went to Tel Aviv, leaving the site for the weekend, to return weekly to meet up with the friends she'd met 1 week. Arab Israelis and a Palestinian. Young men each were working a couple of jobs, and yet somehow still figuring out how to have fun. I sat around taking it all in while they worked. After a while, we began to get hungry, so they pitched in some money, and the Palestinian went to get some food. What started as three began to grow as more and more young men showed up. By foot or by bike, they came. I knew it would be impossible to have enough food for all of them, because when he left, there were only three of us. So the Palestinian returned on his bike, a big smile and a bag full of food. But would there be enough hummus and pita for all? Before you knew it, up rode a Jewish man, laughing as he greeted his friends, explaining to me that this was the real Israel, where Muslim and Jew, Palestinian and Israelis meet and eat. So he pulled off a piece of pita, and he dipped it in the hummus and ate. We ripped of the same bread and dipped in the same cup of hummus, and we didn't run out of food. Despite the growing number, there was enough for all. Communion. No pude hablar español, solo tenía unos días en Guatemala, y cada palabra fue rara, muy rara. I couldn't speak Spanish. I'd only been in Guatemala a few days. Every word was strange. But the rule was Spanish at table. So we muddled our way through. At heart, I'm a rule follower, so I did as I was told. It made for hilarious conversations. I love Guatemalan food. I'm partial to the less spicy, so I love those thick tortillas and the smooth beans. Los guatemaltecos tienen frijoles como licuados. My house wasn't known, though, for the food, unfortunately. So the tortillas came from the lady a few doors down. They were really good. And the rest of it probably wasn't anything to write home about. But the jugo was delicious. The juice was jugo de sandía, watermelon juice. Those big, fat tortillas and the watermelon juice became my favorite lunchtime treats. And around a table of people from different places around the world, each of us butchering our Espanol, our mamá de la casa, attempting to correct every word, even as she could not help from bursting into laughter herself. We would attempt to tell grand stories in broken Spanish, and we'd laugh, and we'd laugh, and we'd laugh, and we'd eat our tortillas, and we'd drink our jugo de sandía. And it was communion. Fue la Santa Comunión. And then there was that day in Durban, South Africa. I had been staying with missionaries from the United Church of Christ. They arranged for me to go into the township to meet a woman who would show me around. Early in the morning, I was dropped off and walked my way to a shipping container. There was a big African woman who unlocked the door to reveal inside a kitchen. She and a few others, one with a baby tied upon her back with a towel, began to prepare food. I peered in to see if I could help. They quickly gave me an assignment and I joined their ranks. Before long, kids started to arrive. Some of them were very hungry, each preparing to head off to school. One after the other, they picked up a meal. Well, two, actually. One to eat and a sack lunch to take with them. This woman had started this soup kitchen in a shipping container and managed to feed all the kids in the neighborhood to ensure that they got food, even if there was no food at home. She later took me to see the community garden that she'd begun. Bursting with pride, I could see what it meant to her. Once she'd opened the gates, other women arrived and began to pick vegetables, herbs. It was like a co-op. They each worked the land and then could bring the fresh food home with them. Later, I went to an orphanage for children with disabilities. And we put together these wheelchairs that were made out of PVC pipe. And I gasped when I saw where they came from. Get this, Irvine, California. A small world. Then she took me back to her home. And there, in a government-provided house with one bedroom, we crammed in with her family, a new grandbaby that they let me hold. And I realized that this woman who did so much also had so little. She offered me cookies and rooibos tea, and she gifted me a necklace. Tea and cookies in a humble home. Communion. It doesn't always look the same. It certainly does not taste the same. Sometimes the holy place is a church, like this. Other times, it's a parking lot. But without fail, the broken bread was holy. I don't remember all of their names, but I remember who they were. Children of God. Children of God the world over. Communion doesn't have to be scripted. In fact, you don't even have to speak the same language. We've had our share of memorable communions here, each powerful in their own way. But think about it. Where else have you broken bread and lifted a cup of blessings? What table was prepared for you? Where in the world did the Holy Spirit meet you? What did you eat? And who did you share it with? Was it in India with Naan that was lifted and broken and given to you? Was it in Europe, in France, with French bread that was broken at table? Found yourself in a place like Jamaica with banana bread, broken, prepared, and shared with you. Perhaps my favorite, while in Samoa, communion is taken in church with a coconut, the perfect meat. Shared public and personal confession. God of every people and nation, we confess that we have not lived as global citizens.